Jenny Detweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. However you're arriving here today, I'm so glad that you're here. Let's start our time together with a slow down, centering exercise. You can keep your eyes open or you can close them. Get into a comfortable position and just draw your gentle awareness to your chest and your heart. Just that general area, just notice. Now notice your breathing. And then I'd love for you to think about something that you're grateful for, something that brings you gratitude today. What was that like? Shifting our attention inward a little bit. Okay, friends, as we close out our resilience series, I want to look at a couple of themes that I believe are worth noting that maybe we've touched on a little bit, but I don't think we've gone very in depth about. It's important to remember that resilience is built under pressure, in times of stress or distress. But that pressure should not exceed what we have resources for. Here's what I mean. In order to build muscle, there must be strain put on the muscle. More strain than what the muscle is used to, but not so much strain that the muscle or tendons are going to tear or break. We're going to remember together Kurt Thompson's definition of resilience that I've been referring back to all season, and that is, our capacity to durably withstand distress, not just tolerating, but hopefully growing through it, withstanding and then growing through. Relationally, spiritually, physically, mentally, we grow by being put through stress that is more than we're used to, but not so much that our resources are maxed out and we'll break under the weight of it. And so today I want to talk about how that principle applies when it comes to our mental and spiritual health. In parenting, when we want our children to engage in a new experience or learn a new skill, we have to first understand their capacity and development. Are they at the stage of development that they can accomplish the task and the skill? Can they do it independently, or do they need our help? Children, and adults for that matter, are best equipped to take on a new challenge if they have the resources inside themselves or outside of themselves to be able to take it on. Now, I can ask a 12-year-old to unload the dishwasher, and he'll be capable of that. I cannot ask a 1-year-old to unload the dishwasher, because he would not be capable of that. He would get frustrated, probably break dishes, and he and I would both be upset. But somewhere between 1 year and 12 years, I will probably need to teach him how to unload the dishwasher and teach him where the dishes need to be put. In the middle of learning a new skill, we need the capacity, the development, and the resources to be able to accomplish it. But when we're in the middle of stress or of distress, we may not believe we have the capacity, development, or resources to withstand it. It may feel too big, too difficult, and certainly not like we can grow through it or grow from it. Interestingly, I believe learning to tolerate stresses of different types is part of a lifelong development process. That is how we grow. But if we don't have capacity or resources, you guys, and sometimes it may feel like we don't, we can look around for resourcing. Who or what is serving to resource us through distress to be able to tolerate it? Who is helping you grow through it or holding your hand and giving you advice when it feels too tough? Who or where are you gaining the skills you need to make it through the stress? And I doubt it's just one source. I really want us to broaden our idea of what counts as a resource. Resources can show up in so many different ways. For instance, there may be encouragers in your life. There may be prayer warriors in your life. There may be Instagram accounts or podcasts that you relate to that help you. There may be books or even YouTube videos that have helped you learn new skills or taught you about information that you really needed to know to get through the distress. There may be doctors, teachers, therapists, psychiatrists, pastors, mentors, or even legal representatives that are standing alongside you to help advocate with you and for you, giving you helpful information when you need it. There may be family or friends that check in with you, work out with you, go out for coffee with you. You may be a part of a group that has your back, a workout group, a Bible study, a therapeutic group, a recovery group, even an online group. But regardless, a place where others get you and you feel less alone. And sometimes, or oftentimes, actually, we do have to actively seek out our own resources, especially when it comes to healthcare, mental health, or caregiving resources. Resources may be readily available to us, or we may have to seek them out. It can go either way. And most of the time, it is a combination of the two. I think a lot of times we may take for granted some of the resources that we do have available to us because the distress feels so big, so overwhelmingly big. And so I encourage you to mentally or even on paper, make a list of the resources that you know you have or the resources that you want to find. And from a spiritual perspective, I want to notice resourcing as well. The Lord leads us through wilderness places. There's plenty of imagery of this in the Bible, and there are just as many examples of Him providing resources for people in wilderness places. Most notably, leading the Israelites through the desert for 40 years and providing manna for them to eat. Every day, like clockwork. It's not what they wanted, I'm sure, but it was sustenance and they could depend on it. Elijah ran weary to the wilderness, feeling suicidal and afraid. The Lord met him there with rest, water to drink, and bread to be revived until he felt like he could go on. And there are so many more examples. Hagar, Abraham, even Jesus. So many wilderness experiences in which the Lord showed up to provide a resource to make it through an impossible situation. Often in the wilderness, and always just on time. So many times when under distress, we just desperately want a way out, like the escape hatch I talked about earlier this season. Or we dream of better days, like a 3-course meal in Italy, not manna in a desert. But the manna is grace, God-given sustenance that keeps us dependent and reliant on the Lord and not ourselves. Enough grace for each day, and sometimes, for today and only today. And then we look for more tomorrow. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread. Give me today the things that I need for today." The American Dream teaches us to store up for the future, but God has a way of reminding us of daily dependence. Stress and distress have a way of stripping us down to the very basics, to remember our great helplessness and dependence on our ultimate caregiver, our Creator. And remember, we're not asked to do this on our own. If in Christ, we're relying on His strength. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Paul talks about a thorn in his flesh that he asked God to please remove. He didn't just ask once, he asked 3 times. He didn't want to tolerate the distress. He wanted it gone. But the Lord replied, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." And Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." So perhaps we need to reframe the way we're looking at distress and our own strength to tolerate it. Weakness and distress are places where we can rely on strength that didn't come from us. And hopefully, in that process, we're changed. Growing through a season of trauma or distress changes us. And that leads me to my second theme I want to talk about. Resilience may not mean going back to what was true before. It may mean a new normal. We'll put a bookmark at 2 Corinthians 12:9 and come back to it at the end. But first, let's talk about what I mean by a new normal. I think sometimes we believe resilience means a good comeback story, like an athlete that has an injury, then makes a dramatic comeback and breaks new records. You know, sometimes that happens. We tolerate distress for a period of time, heal, and come back stronger than we were before. But I'm going to propose a different version. I believe we come back different and changed. In many ways, stronger and wiser, but we may not come back in the way that we imagined. We may not come back to the me that I used to be. I may now be entering a new normal. A few years ago, I heard Catherine Wolfe from Hope Heals share an aspect of her story that I think really illustrates this idea well. She suffered a stroke in her 20s, which has affected many aspects of her life. She looks different and functions differently than she did before, and she often uses a wheelchair. Personally, the idea of having to use a wheelchair sounds like an awful life sentence. But here's what she said. She said that her wheelchair represents freedom for her. It helps her do the things and go to the places she wants to go. Think about that. It helps her do the things and go to the places she wants to go. It feels like freedom. What a reframe. We might say that having to use a wheelchair is not a comeback story, but we would be wrong. The Lord has used her in mighty ways, and she has learned to see the resources she needs, including a wheelchair and her dependence on others, as beneficial. She's not the same person, and she's not physically as strong as she was pre-stroke, but I guarantee she's spiritually and emotionally a more resilient person. And she's living a new normal. Now, all of us may not undergo such a dramatic change as that, but in our own stories, we may also have to grow into a new normal. Grief leaves us in a new normal. Illness or injury can leave us in a new normal. Financial stressors can leave us in a new normal. Big life changes and transitions can leave us in a new normal. Aging itself over time leaves us in a new normal. And in a new normal, we have to reassess our capacity, our resources, our energy, our time. We may even change perspective on what we think or believe. I think resilience may very well include reassessment. Maybe our life pace changes. Maybe we choose friends differently. Maybe we have to take greater care of our bodies. Maybe we shift some internal beliefs or cling more strongly to the ones we already had. Learning to withstand distress and then grow does probably mean pruning and then new growth. That pruning may change some things, and we're not going to be the same. But our root system, if strong, will not be shaken, and we will grow. Which takes me back to Christ. In John 15, it says that Christ is the vine and we are the branches. So hold tightly to him through the pruning process. Hold on to him while you put out your new leaves. When you are weak, he is strong, and he can and will resource you. So friend, if you found yourself having to learn how to withstand distress, don't lose heart. You may land in a new normal. You may be looking for resources. In fact, I hope that you are looking for resources. But if in Christ, when it feels like you're being pruned to the breaking point, hold on tight. Abide. Resilience looks like new growth at the end of a season of pruning. And I can't wait to hear and see the stories of what God does through you and the growth he brings about in your life. Boast all the stronger in your weakness. Look for and grab onto the manna and grace he brings each day. God's strength will shine through you. And so we've kind of meandered this season, huh? While we've talked about resilience. Thanks for your grace for me as I did that. But I hope that you've gotten some encouragement out of it. I hope you're thinking a little differently about resilience and what it looks like in your life. Whether or not you thought you were resilient, it turns out you have great capacity for resilience. Shine on. Well, friends, this is my last episode of the season. I'll be taking a break for the foreseeable future, a bit of rest. In the Bible, every 7 years, they would leave their gardens alone for 1 year to let the land rest. And I'm doing the same with this podcast. It's been a little over 7 years. I'm closing in on 8, so it's time. I'm going to let it and myself rest for a time. And God willing, I'll be back with new energy and creativity after that. But in the meantime, blessings to you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm so thankful for our time together. And as always, I'd like to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.